We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here we go.
He jams.
And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
With the fifth pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Devin White, linebacker, LSU.
Welcome back inside the Kia Studios. I'm Paul Crane, and this is the 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Wrap-Up Show. I'm joined again by the publisher of the NFL Draft Report, who has worked for the NFL and its teams for decades scouting players, Dave T. Thomas, who continues to be with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Abe Gordon is behind the glass, and you can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 or tweet us at 92.9TheGame, me at PaulCrane7. And Dave T., there we heard Devin Bush going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know you had dialed that pick in for weeks, and Tampa Bay has helped itself defensively, but how about starting right there at the top with Devin White from LSU?
Well, you got the best off-ball linebacker you're going to see since, well, another guy was wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneer uniform called Derek Brooks. Todd Bowles liked his guys to attack. But when you're having all your men attacking, especially on your front wall, you need somebody in that linebacking unit to direct traffic, and that's what he's going to get out of Devin White. They lost Quan Alexander to the 49ers. I mean, that was a ridiculous signing by the 49ers over there. They definitely overpaid for a guy coming back from an Achilles. But you just saw the culture of what they went into this draft, Paul. Defense. First, they bring in White. They knew they needed to get themselves a couple of cornerbacks, so they doubled up. They go for Sean Bunting, who is a very good cover man out of Central Florida. Then they follow up with the speedster himself, Jamal Dean. I think Dean's probably going to play more in a slot position for them, but they got hard-hitting safety Mike Edwards that came on board. And watch that round four pick. I talk about the Iowa work ethic. The Hawkeyes over there are a lot of blue-collar types. They bring in Anthony Nelson. He could play either end or tackle for them.
The defensive backfield was taken care of. They had four picks in the top 100. You mentioned Sean Bunting from Central Michigan, Jamal Dean from Auburn, and Mike Edwards from Kentucky, and then the Iowa Hawkeye, Anthony Nelson. And I can't help but think of I Dream of Jeannie every time I hear that. And then they actually took a punter or a kicker in round five before they turned their attention to the offense a little bit with a wide receiver. But you think that the Buccaneers are going to be much stronger defensively this year?
Well, if you saw last year, that was their big issue, that and running back. You look at what they brought in over here. White starts immediately. Bunting moves into the lineup. Dean will probably end up being a nickelback. And with Nelson just jumps right into the rotation. If they end up letting Gerald McCoy go, look at their seventh rounder, Terry Beckner. This guy's a fire plug. He's sort of like Bo Allen that they already have there. So Bo could also be in danger if Terry Beckner shows well in training camp.
And you've had a little circle on Gerald McCoy for quite a while, cap reasons if nothing else.
Yeah, you know, when you're making $13.5 million and not justifying that price, when you wasted a first-round draft pick last year on Vita Vey, you got to stay the course with Vita Vey. Someone's going to have to suffer there with the money factor.
And I should tell people, a year ago when we were talking about the draft in advance, you were not high on Vita Vey. But let's move on in the NFC South to the division champions and the arch rivals of the Falcons, the New Orleans Saints. They were silent on the first night because they had traded away their first-round pick a year ago to move up to get Marcus Davenport. But when they came up in round two, they picked center Eric McCoy out of Texas A&M, a real need once Max Unger retired at the end of the season.
Yeah, they went out and wasted $24 million on Nick Easton. This was a guy that Minnesota did not want back till they decided they did want him back. So they overpaid on that price over there, but they end up with a guy that at worst could come in and play in the rotation at both guard and center. Round four, they took a real stud. The kid just doesn't know exactly where to be on the football field, but Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, if they could ever get that kid to learn the rudiments of playing safety, he's going to be a good one. Saquon Hampton, that was a good double-up move because they needed at least one of these safeties to come up on board. They find themselves a nice little guy sitting there in round six. Watch that Elise Mack pickup, though. This was a kid didn't get much playing time up in Notre Dame till this year. Then he was banged up a little bit. I think this guy's going to come in and at least provide them with an additional blocker on that
line. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going because, you know, the way Sean Payton likes to use his tight ends, but he can use an extra blocker up there. And Elise Mack, the tight end from Notre Dame, may fit the bill considering they've got Jared Cook now to catch passes.
He didn't go as far as his father went. Luther Ellis was a first-round draft pick in 1995, but seventh-rounder, Caden Ellis, he's right from the same tree. This is a good linebacker, a good stay-at-home type. I see him challenging for one of the middle linebacker spots.
As we continue on with the last remaining team in the NFC South, the Carolina Panthers, again, Dave T. and I have position previews on our draft hub on 929thegame.com, our Scouts Honor podcast previews, and the only player we previewed at three different positions goes to the Carolina Panthers. It's Florida State's Brian Burns.
Yeah, I don't see them playing him on the defensive line. I don't think the kid could keep 250 pounds on that frame of his. By lacking the sand in the pants, I see him more so coming in, fitting seamlessly into Thomas Davis's role. Then you got to look at what they did. They saw the problems last year on that offensive line. Everybody was getting hurt. Darrell Williams played in one game. Both of the Khalil brothers were pretty much spent. They went ahead and took Greg Little in round two. This is a guy that had top 10 talent over there. It's just a matter of lighting a fire under him and keeping him going. One of our sleepers we've been talking about forever, the edge rusher down in Alabama. That's the guy that's going to be the impact. He'll learn under Bruce Irvin. Irvin will act as his mentor.
Christian Miller.
Yeah, I love Christian. This is a kid that had a hard time getting the recognition down in Alabama, but you know he was only a four-star recruit. So you know all them five stars added to him not getting that much luster. Jordan Scarlett, I love that pick because I was worried that they were about to run Christian McCaffrey into the ground. It was Christian McCaffrey right up the middle, through the flanks. Let's turn him out on the post in the
screen. Jordan Scarlett, running back from Florida.
Now they got themselves a quality backup behind them. The Will Grier move, you had to go that route. Look at the bang-up on Cam Newton in the last several years. He just underwent some nice shoulder surgery down there. If this guy's not ready to go, they have themselves a quality backup in Will Grier.
And Will Grier then, depending on Cam Newton's health, may get to play sooner rather than later, but of course the ideal situation would be Newton for them, would be Newton to be healthy and Grier get to take his time. And any thoughts on Terry Godwin, the Georgia Bulldog?
Fact, I was just going to get to that. You know, that was a good pickup in round seven. They got a quality kid that should have been around four. The leg injuries this year really set him back quite a bit. He only had 23 receptions. But understand, Newton doesn't have too many receivers out there, and not only that, he lost his big boy in Devin Funchess, who ended up signing with Indianapolis. This is a grand opportunity for a seventh round to come in and make some waves in training camp. Same thing with the South Carolina kid, the sixth round, Dennis Daly. They're coming in, they got rid of four starters on that offensive line, guys, in the last 2 years. Norvell's down at Jacksonville. Khalil's over at Houston. The other one's in retirement. They had to go ahead and bring in some young meat on that front wall.
We'll continue with some talk that might make fantasy football fans happy as we look at a few positions. And let's start, before we go to break, with some of the quarterbacks. We know Kyler Murray, obviously, is going to get his opportunity to play in Arizona. You've already said you think Drew Locke may be the next one on the field in Denver, depending on what happens with Joe Flacco. When you look at the quarterbacks, where are the good fits? Where are places people should pay attention?
There's only two good fits as far as I'm concerned on day one and day two. and that's Murray, of course, but Murray has no choice. It's been a good relationship with Murray and Kingsbury. It was like doomsday for Josh Rosen as soon as Kingsbury walked through the door, because you knew he was going to go ahead and get his own quarterback. Haskins is in a pretty decent situation over with Washington. With Case Keenum there, okay, Haskins could sit back for a half a season before he goes out there, because Keenum is nothing more than a play setter anyway. I still got a little cautious tail on Haskins. I just don't think he's going to pan out. He reminds me too much of James Harris. Meanwhile, Locke goes into a situation where Joe Flacco, two out of the last 3 years, this kid's been broke down palace. If he breaks down again or stumbles coming out of the box, understand one thing. John Elway right now is fighting for his job. One of the young Bolin inheritors is taking over that team. She's not going to sit back and say, okay, man, let's go another year without being in the playoffs.
Well, John Elway's quarterback track record is not as good as his quarterback play. That's for sure. A couple of guys that I'd love to ask you about. We've got Auburn's Jarrett Stidham, who was taken by the New England Patriots. And before we leave quarterbacks, I also want to make sure we ask about Easton Stick, who comes out of North Dakota State, where Carson Wentz played, but he gets taken by the Chargers, where Phillip Rivers has a few miles on those tires.
The list of successors that have failed up in New England to replace Tom Brady is astounding. I think Jarrett Stidham will definitely end up with one of the more cleaner uniforms on their team. Possibly a good trade bait 3-4 years from now, but Tom plans on playing. Even if he ends up croaking out there on the football field, he's got some special doctor to keep him going. I think that the Easton Stick pick, though, this is a guy that the Chargers are going to see. Hey, you know what? We didn't have to go out there and trade for Rosen. We didn't have to go out there and try to move up in a draft. We might have our successor for Phil Rivers in a few years right here. At worst, I see them going ahead like Baltimore is going to use Trace McSorley. I see the Chargers turning around and seeing the running ability of Easton Stick as being an opportunity for the trick play.
And an opportunity for him to not be rushed into a bigger situation. And you think Easton Stick has the tools, if given the time, to actually be the one who would replace Phillip Rivers once he's ready to retire?
Well, look at Andy Dalton. Not only did I not get myself a new contract out there, they go ahead and take Ryan Finley in the fourth round. But I'm telling you, this kid they just signed as a free agent, Jake Dolagala, that's a kid that even if I was Finley, I'd be worried about.
That's a kid from Central Connecticut State that we've talked about more than once.
6'5", 240 pounds, runs a 4.58. Don't look at his statistics, only 48 touchdowns. This was a team that he played for that ran the ball 75% of the time. He's got the size, got everything. I'm just surprised that he wasn't drafted.
A number of teams I know were looking at him, so as we wrap up the quarterback position, this is one where people always, it's the most important position on a team. And once again, we saw people go into the first round. We saw in a draft that you didn't think a franchise quarterback was necessarily in this draft. People still continue to move in a treat it differently than other positions.
And for our fantasy football players out there, buyer beware on Kyler Murray. Not so much of what he can do on the field, but having the protection to do it. Till they get that offensive line settled down over at Arizona, I would back off on using him as a starter early in the season. However, I would look
That's
at
not gonna happen.
Drew Lock.
That's not going to happen, is it?
Well, I'm not looking for them. I'm talking about my fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, if you draft a Kyler Murray for your fantasy team as your number one quarterback and put him out there, you know, he's going to have more Band-Aids on him than Johnson & Johnson can produce. But, however, I'd look at a Drew Lock, and I would say maybe around week five, this could probably be where Drew Lock steps on the field. I've seen Joe Flacco's medical records. I'm not too ecstatic about him last in 16.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Don't go away, Dave T. Still ahead. We're going to touch on some players who did not get drafted. We've also got some glass slippers to hand out. But next, some players who may have early impact at specific positions. We'll run through a few more positions, like Mecole Hardman. This is the NFL Draft Wrap-Up Show on 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game.
Here we go.
He jams.
They score! And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios. I'm Paul Crane. This is the 92.9 The Game NFL Draft Wrap-Up Show. I'm joined by my Scouts Honor podcast co-host and the publisher of the NFL Draft Report, Dave T. Thomas. And Dave T., we're going to continue looking at some positions of where players may be able to make early impact. And we're going to start with wide receivers in this segment. We're not going to go in the order that they were selected. We're going to go in the order that they may have impact. I think you've been talking about Georgia's Mecole Hardman being eyeballed by the Kansas City Chiefs long before the Tyreek Hill audio came out. And then we watched them in round two trade up to make sure they got him. Mecole Hardman to Kansas City.
Well, they had no choice in trading up because the two teams right behind them were going to jump on Mecole, and that was the reason for the move. You have to look at what he brings on the field, not only as a receiver, but as a possible on the reverse, and also those kickoff return duties that he affords a team. Whether Hill is going to be there or not, they still needed to bring in another weapon. They're going to be cash-strapped next year, Paul. There is no way they're going to be able to bring back Sammy Watkins. They lost Conley this year. That's going to be two wideouts taking out of the equation. And you look at Travis Kelce, he's been getting pretty banged up lately, man. You know, every offseason is another surgery for the guy. Having a viable weapon for a quarterback like Mahomes, like Hardman, Hardman's my AFC Offensive Rookie of the Year.
High praise and great opportunity for Georgia's Mecole Hardman, but as we look at the wide receiver position, the New England Patriots took Arizona State's N'Keal Harry, who you know well, at the end of the first round.
He was a good student, Paul, let me tell you that. And not only that, a first-class kid, and now he's with the ideal team. He takes over at split end. Whether Gordon gets his reinstatement from the NFL, we now have that big quality guy for Tom to go ahead with the jump ball. He allows Tom to stretch the field. He allows him to go out there and use the middle of the field with all of those little squirts that he has at the slot receiver position.
We've already talked about, when you said jump ball, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside out of Stanford, who's gone to the Eagles. But another wide receiver who didn't go until the second round is Ole Miss's A.J. Brown. He didn't get the most publicity pre-draft among the Ole Miss wide receivers. But what kind of an opportunity does A.J. Brown have with the Tennessee Titans?
Oh, he is a punishing wide receiver with the ball in his hands. You go and look at the situation they have over there. Corey Davis constantly having hamstring issues. Marcus Mariota, the only way he's going to succeed is if he has himself a physical presence over the middle of the field. On those short routes, on the post, on the screens, here comes A.J. Brown. This guy's going to move the chains. I think the only receiver that can move the chains better than A.J. is Paris Campbell. 80% of his yardage has been after the catch. Indianapolis got a stud. They're going to move him over into the slot position, similar to what he played over at Ohio State. I look at the Marquise Brown situation. That's ideal, too, because he has an athletic quarterback that's going to use him for what he does best, and that's his escapability. Seattle, well, how could I put it to you? DK Metcalf, you showed up, you took your shirt off. Well, when you get in the NFL, there's going to be a lot of cornerbacks to expose you for being probably the poorest route runner in this draft.
Well, and when he walked into the coach's room and Pete Carroll ripped his shirt off because he walked.
Yeah, it was time, you know. Hey, what the hell, you know. I'm sure there were a couple of dollar bills tossed on the floor, but the whole thing comes down to is, what he brings for Wilson is the same thing that you're going to see with a lot of the big receivers here. He's got a tall target, an ability to go deep. The whole thing with DK is DK just run. If you want him to run a pattern, you're not going to get that. You want him to run straight ahead, he's going to do that. The good thing about DK is once he catches the ball, he'll run over you.
Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma, diminutive, but he was the first wide receiver off the board, and with Lamar Jackson as his quarterback in Baltimore, it'll be interesting to see. I want to ask you about...
Yeah, and you also got Miles Boykin going in over here. Let's not forget about the Notre Dame, because if we're talking about a guy that could rival speed, it's him. Similar to Metcalf, though, he needs some work on his route running.
How about the two rookies drafted by the 49ers, Deebo Samuel out of South Carolina, wide receiver, and then later Jalen Hurts, who SEC fans may remember from his time at Tennessee as a running back, but he ends up going into the NFL as a third-round draft pick out of Baylor as a wide receiver.
San Francisco right now, Jimmy Garoppolo, I could imagine his conversation with John Lynch. I love you, man. I mean, Deebo was a guy that if Harry wasn't there, he would have ended up in a New England Patriot uniform. That's how high Bill was on this kid. He was even trying to trade up to a point where he possibly could have gotten him, but we couldn't do the deal with Arizona. You look at the other kid that they end up bringing in, Jalen Hurts, raw as sushi, 6'4", 220-pounder, only 1 year as a wide receiver. This kid's got the jazz. The whole thing is patient coaching will help him develop. Finding a guy like that in round three, most definitely. Finding a guy like there in round three from Toledo, Deontay Johnson, Pittsburgh seems to like the Mac wide receivers. They had good success with Antonio Brown. I'm not saying Johnson's going to turn into him, but he's going to surprise a few people.
Well, they got a Mac quarterback. When it comes to catching the ball, let's talk about tight ends. Pretty talented, certainly, in the first round. Not only did we see two tight ends go in the first round, but they're from the same school, T.J. Hockenson from Iowa and Noah Fant from Iowa.
Yeah, the ESPN guy in Detroit knows squat, Brian McFadden. He's a cornerback. What's he know about a tight end? He was over there dogging this thing. He's saying, well, you know, Detroit in the last 10 years now has used a first-round draft pick on a tight end, and none of them will work out. Well, you haven't seen T.J. Hockenson, Brian. Why don't you put on the pads out again and try to stop this guy? Do you see what he does as a blocker in the second level? Where the heck do you hear anybody turning around and getting 88 second-level blocks in a season? That's what T.J. Hockenson brings. Not only that, the pass-catching ability. This guy's old school. You're not going to find him being a hybrid. You're not going to see him flex out. He saved out for Noah Fant to do. This is a guy that is in the Mark Bavaro mold. That was a great pickup for Detroit. Now, along with Kenny Golladay, they got two physical presence over there for Matthew Stafford. Now, if they could only get Mr. Patricia to open up his offense, they might do that with Darrell Bevell there.
And how about Fant going to the Denver Broncos, who jumped up to get him?
Well, you know, look at the receivers they had, Demaryius Thomas. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up using him more so as split end than at the tight end position itself.
Hmm. Interesting. People in the SEC certainly know Irv Smith from Alabama. He went to the Vikings. But also, what do you think about Texas A&M's Jay Sternberger and the situation he's in at Green Bay?
Green Bay was looking to replace Jimmy Graham. Graham was known only for a receiver, and those receiving skills slip. Jace is going to come in. Don't look for him to block over there, folks, but if you're looking for a good underneath target for Aaron Rodgers, Jay Sternberger is going to get himself some pretty nice touches. I think the Buffalo Bills ended up with the sleeper in round three, Dawson Knox. This is a kid that hasn't shown much as a receiver. Well, if they only throw the ball to you 20 times a year and you catch 19, what the heck are you going to do? But they got a very good one there. Houston Texans, I think that they have themselves an Owen Daniels replacement. Ever since Daniels retired several years ago, they take the water polo kid Waring out of San Diego State.
One other I want to make sure you get to mention is another from the SEC. The SEC had 64 players drafted, the most from one conference in the modern era, but a kid from LSU, Scott Wright, was questioning the Oakland pick of Foster Moreau. But why don't you bring us up to date on Foster Moreau?
I love his vocabulary, but I love the move to Oakland Raiders because he reminds me a lot of Todd Christensen. They have success with their receivers, with their tight ends in the short area. This kid's going to go in and challenge for a starting job right off the bat. And another thing, too, is as much as I like Hockenson being the all-around guy, if I want a bruiser at tight end, especially for my motion tight end position, Detroit couldn't have found the better one in round seven in Isaac Nwata.
Out of the University of Georgia, Isaac
Nwata. That kid is not only going to make a team, he's going to make that team much better. Look at the way that Denver, the success they had years ago. The underrated guy over there was Virgil Green. Look at the success that the Chargers had with Green last year. That's what Nwata is going to bring to the field. He's going to be the type of guy that, listen, coach, just hand me my paycheck every Monday. I don't care about the newspaper clippings.
We've got another skill position to discuss, and that's the running back position. Of course, you've already talked about Josh Jacobs, what a good fit he is in Oakland, and Miles Sanders. You've raved about what he can do in Philadelphia with the Eagles. But as we move down, you also mentioned David Montgomery with the Bears. But how about some of the other guys at the running back position in this draft?
Well, I think Sanders is the NFC the offensive rookie of the year at that position. He's in a grand opportunity to get 1,400, 1,500 yards. Same thing with Montgomery up at Chicago. They have Tarik Cohen there, but he's more of the change of pace back. Look at New England, Sonny Michel. Now all of a sudden they pop in. They take a bruiser in Damian Harris. Look at some of the other ones that went off the board. Jacksonville with Leonard Fournette with all of his issues down there. They go ahead, they cut Carlos Hyde, they let Yeldon go ahead and sign with Buffalo. They bring in my violent running back, Rakeel Armstead.
And that's, you had called him the most violent runner in the draft. How about what the Steelers did getting Benny Snell out of the University of Kentucky?
Follows the tradition over there. Look at the two backs that they have right now. Physicality is the name of the game. Understand one thing. The town is called Steeltown. When you got a town named Steeltown, you want those tungsten elements in your backfield. And look at Cincinnati. If I'm Giovanni Bernard right now, I'm a little bit worried because they brought in a guy that was, how could I put it, Giovanni Bernard 2.0 and Travion Williams.
Out of Texas
and
A&M.
From Texas A&M. And then Baltimore, now teaming Mark Ingram with Justice Hill. Hill's got the opportunity to be in the Camaro.
Quickly,
Buffalo takes Devin Singletary. Now have themselves a nice, good scat back. There was a lot of good quality out there.
I do want to make sure you get to mention, I know you've already praised the Falcons for taking Quadri Allison out of Pittsburgh as a banger, but how about Ty Johnson out of Maryland being taken in the sixth round by the Detroit Lions?
If you look in the last 5 years, look what team has had one of the worst rushing units around. It's been Detroit. They brought in Kerryon Johnson last year. Of course, he ends up getting banged up, similar to what it was during his career in college. Now Ty Johnson shows up with that 39.51 yard distance on his touchdowns, 4.34 speed at 212 pounds. Watch this sucker. I predict midseason he's their starter.
Wow. All right. Well, don't go away. We've got some glass slippers in each round to hand out. And, of course, there's some players who did not get drafted who can still make teams. Georgia's Elijah Holyfield is among those we'll discuss when we come back on the 92.9 The Game draft wrap-up show here on 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Here we go. Here we go.
He jams.
They score! And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You are listening to 92.9 The Game's NFL Draft Wrap-Up Show. I'm Paul Crane here in the Kia Studios. Joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, the publisher of the NFL Draft Report and the director of operations for Scouting Services, Inc., Mr. Dave T. Thomas. And Dave T., you've got some glass slippers to hand out. I'm not sure the first round anyone gets a glass slipper other than you want to give one to Daniel Jones because that pick by the Giants kind of dictated the way the rest of the first round fell.
Oh, my God. I mean, you got to look at what went on. I mean, by not taking Daniel Jones, Josh Allen is left on the board. That pushes DJ Hockenson back a little bit because Jacksonville goes for him. Detroit turns around and says, thank you very much for TJ. They were actually probably going to go for an offensive lineman like Jonah Williams. You then turn around. Buffalo didn't have to trade up. Ed Oliver falls into their lap. Bush ends up going number 10 to Pittsburgh. Williams ends up at Cincinnati because they thought they were going to get Bush but really needed an offensive lineman. It just kept on going down and down. Picks numbers 7 through 15, like I say, have Dave Gettleman to thank for it.
As we look at the second round, you've already talked a lot about Juwan Taylor going to the Jaguars in the second round when they were targeting him in the first, and Drew Lock going to the Broncos in the second round when they were targeting him in the first. You know, we have not mentioned Byron Murphy, the cornerback from Washington who the Cardinals took with the first pick of the second round, but how much of a tea leaf is that on Patrick Peterson's future in Arizona?
Well, not only it's also good for the immediate and the long range future, because the immediate future is if they do keep Patrick Peterson there, they now have themselves matching bookends. The biggest problem they had was trying to find a running mate for Peterson. Now, if they do let Peterson go, well, then Byron Murphy has all that experience playing at boundary cornerback anyway, so he just slides in where Peterson was sitting.
As we look at the third round, you've already talked about Jalen Hurd from Baylor going as a wide receiver to the 49ers and David Montgomery of Iowa State going to the Bears at running back, but we have not yet talked about Draymond Jones, the defensive lineman from Ohio State, who goes to the Broncos in round three.
They cut DeMeco Pekka. They now turn around. The other three starters from last year are all in their final year of the contract. They needed to address themselves on that defensive line. They now find a combative type. I think they're going to probably use him more so as a five, use him out on the edge rather than playing him at defensive tackle. If Derek Wolfe ends up breaking down, he's going to end up sliding into Wolf's spot.
And we've referenced Jalen Ferguson, the defensive end from Louisiana Tech, who goes to the Baltimore Ravens in that third round. But before we let round three go away, a little more on Chase Winovich from Michigan, who goes to the New England Patriots.
This fits in perfect. I mean, they're looking for themselves to bring in a stud. I don't see them playing him on the defensive line, Paul. I see them having him stand up at the strong side outside linebacker position. Besides, with his hair, we got to joke that when we show up in training camp, we're both going to let our mane swell.
So that Dave T's got long hair, which goes way back to Native Americans, that certainly helped you with your cancer battle. And it's always great to see you, but you've had the longest hair I know. I guess Winovich is going to have to even grow his to beat you.
Well, I haven't had mine cut since 91, so we'll see when we get up there.
Well, let's go in round four. We've got three glass slippers to hand out, but let's start with one that the Falcons picked. In the fourth round, their cornerback from Ohio State, Kendall Sheffield.
You know, I think that if he was not hurt at the combines and unable to work out for the teams, this kid would have gone in round two. I look at DeAndre Baker. Outside of DeAndre Baker, this is the most instinctive cornerback you're going to see out there. He's got great speed. He runs sub 4.4. He's gone through the turmoil. He's matured a lot off the field because of the situation with Nick Saban years ago when Nick wouldn't let him transfer to any of the other schools in the SEC. He had to actually go junior college before he showed up at Ohio State. This is a guy that I see coming in right now. He's your nickelback. And if anything happens to your two starters, he'll step right in over there. But right now, he's your number five guy in your four-man secondary.
I know you like Ryan Finley from NC State, the quarterback with the Bengals. You've already said that Andy Dalton may need to be looking over his shoulder. But how about the offensive lineman from Indiana, a guy that wasn't even invited to the combine? We've talked about him previously on our position preview podcast. The Redskins take Wes Martin out of Indiana in the fourth round.
This is my thing to the unknown players out there in college. Make yourself a YouTube. Make yourself some of your game plays on YouTube. Now, if you're a monster in the weight room like Wes was, make sure you tape your stuff in the weight room. That's actually what lured the Washington Redskins, sent the film over to Doug Williams. He saw this, said, geez, I better get a scout out there. This was a kid that was not seen till early April by teams. All of a sudden, four teams went in to see him. Look what happened, folks, round four.
And he would have, if he'd gone to the combine, he might have set a rep record on the 225 bench.
I mean, in school, he did 53. He did in a program. He did 61 in a program. Kid is country strong. But not only that, Paul, this is a guy over the last 4 years has the second highest pass blocking grade of any guard in college. The only one that topped him is now starting for the Chicago Bears, and he was the sixth pick in the draft last year.
A lot of slippers in the fifth round. You have mentioned Alabama safety Deontay Thompson to the Cardinals.
Devin McCourty, I love that kid. I could not understand why he slipped down so far. It all goes to the element that whether you're four-star or five-star at Alabama, you all of a sudden fall behind your coach. This is a kid that Arizona's got to steal. You know, you look at what Arizona did on draft day compared to what they did with the Rosen mix-up and everything. Arizona really had an excellent draft.
Yeah. Which is really head-scratching when you think about what the Cardinals have been and then the mess they've been even leading up to the draft. You called Ryquell Armstead out of Temple the most violent runner. You've talked about Easton Stick going to the Chargers, a potential future. A couple of guys that we have not had a chance to talk about. Clemson's Hunter Renfrow went to the Oakland Raiders there in round five.
He'll be their Wes Welker type. He'll be the guy that will get those short little passes, the chain-moving types. Of course, they got Williams and Brown on the other end. Antonio might be a little ticked off that anybody would ever get to catch a pass thrown by Derek Carr that's not named Antonio Brown, but Renfro's going to get out there, and he's going to play for these guys. One kid that I really like, especially down in Miami, Derek Rake is gone. They need themselves a quality edge rusher. Here's a kid I see his experience last year at linebacker, Andrew Van Ginkle. This is a kid, three college stops, Paul, 42.5 tackles behind the line of scrimmage.
How about Mac Wilson from Alabama? He lasted until the fifth round, and the Browns took him.
Yeah, the Browns took him, the Jets took Cashman, and both of these guys have starting material written all over them. You look at what's going on with Cleveland right now, they're changing that whole defense. They want an oomph type. That's what they're going to get from Mac.
And Blake Cashman went to the Jets, spoke about him earlier in round six. How about some guys? We know that Georgia's Lamont Gelliard went to the Cardinals, another part of their good draft, kind of talked about him. But what about Sutton Smith from Northern Illinois, a linebacker who went to the Steelers?
We'll get back to Galliard a little bit because Galliard solves two issues for them. They have an issue at left tackle and they had an issue at center. Their center should be playing left tackle and now is able to do that with Galliard on board.
And Sutton Smith from Northern Illinois is a sixth-round guy.
A kid. He's only 230 pounds. He was a terror up in the MAC. He played defensive end there. He's going to have to learn how to drop back in pass coverage. But for Pittsburgh, with T.J. Watts and all of those linebackers that they got on the edge being disguised as defensive ends, he's good for a rotation type.
Hey, our clock is ticking, but one more sixth-rounder I just want to mention. NC State's Kelvin Harmon went to the Redskins in round six.
Yeah, that was a surprise because most of the teams figured day one, possibly day two at worst, and he slid on draft day. Hey, strange things happen, Paul. You know what it is. You sort of forget about certain guys and go on with others.
In round seven, let's go right to Mr. Irrelevant. Arizona started the draft and ended it with Caleb Wilson, a tight end from UCLA. Last pick of the draft.
And you're talking about a perfect situation for him because now he gives that safety valve to Murray. Understand, Murray's going to be scrambling for his dear life behind that offensive line. So as many weapons as you could give him out there. And also, Wilson is one hell of a crack blocker.
Let me get to a couple of guys that were not drafted. Falcons fans certainly know Jesse Tuggle had himself a heck of a career, was not drafted. James Harrison of the Steelers' career, not drafted. Kurt Warner, Tony Romo. We could go on and on. But what about Georgia running back Elijah Holyfield? He did sign with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, that's a good move up there. They brought in a kid last year that never played fullback before in Ricky Ortiz. It led to a lot of missed blocks in the backfield. Now they bring Holyfield in. Holyfield's got the size to play the full. Not only that, is he's a decent receiver coming out of the backfield. You got to look at one thing with him and Scarlett over there. At least it will give Christian McCaffrey some breather.
One more
I think
quickly.
He'll have a good shot at making the team.
One more, Dave T. From Marietta, Georgia, the offensive lineman out of Minnesota, Donnell Green.
You know, down there, him and Juwan Taylor, you look at that offensive line, they said that they needed to get multiple offensive linemen. The draft fell to them in such a way they only ended up with Taylor. Green's got a good shot. I think they're going to make him a guard, though.
Well, and some wide receivers you think will play. Johnny Dixon, Ohio State, Emmanuel Hall from Missouri, they went to the Texans and the Bears, and Anthony Johnson from Buffalo went to Tampa Bay. We'll look for them to make their teams. We'll put a ribbon on this and look ahead to 2020 a bit when we come back. This is 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.